What up, guys? Welcome to the Winning Circle. It's your boy Nico 100 out here chilling with Turtle.
What up, what up?
And Patrick Daly.
Hello.
The Winning Circle is a place where we speak about winning. And even when we lose, we find a way to use that to win in the future.
Whether it's current events, mental health issues, or anything that's on our minds, this is a platform for us to share, speak, and learn.
So let's get this started.
What up, what it do, baby?
How's it going, fellas?
How you guys doing, pals?
I feel excellent.
Brethren. Excellent. Y'all do anything interesting this week? Because I didn't. I've been slammed at work, so I need y'all to keep me
in. Our fun stories.
Yeah.
I went to a show. See a DJ named Carl Cox.
Ooh, DJ, yeah. Carl Cox. How was that?
Yeah, it was in downtown LA, Grand Park, I believe.
And I'm assuming you say DJ, so for the people out there, don't judge me. It's
EDM. All right. Tech.
Right. Yeah, hope y'all really don't get attacked on Twitter for that.
Yeah, it was really dope. It was a party for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what?
Those things always are.
Now that I realize it, I already knew who Carl Cox was. The homie put me on game with him.
Yeah.
He sent me his set to work out with, and it was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, you Goose. Like
shout out Goose.
Nah, fuck no. Goose. Actually,
it wasn't Goose.
Yeah.
All right, fuck you, Goose.
That's been the theme of the week, to be honest. Fuck Goose. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. That's what's up. What was the show at again?
Grand Park downtown. Yeah. It was open space, so like it wasn't that late. It was up to 11.
Oh, so was it like?
Okay. So it wasn't like one of those like
outside in the air type shit.
No, it was. Yeah, it was. Oh. But it was just from like 3 to 11 because it's by the park. Hotels. Yeah. It's by the house, like people's apartments and shit like that. So.
That makes sense. Because every time I imagine like a show like that, I think about a warehouse in an abandoned downtown LA structure.
Yeah,
like
to like 5 a.m.
Yeah,
something from the XXX movies.
Yes, exactly. Yes. With a buff ass Vin Diesel.
And there's the DJ is just wearing like a full length fur coat.
That's exactly what goes through my head every single time I think about those shows.
Yeah, it's kind of. Kind of made me want to feel like going to Coachella this year.
You know? Ooh, Coachella. Yeah. Are you guys big fans of shows like that? Like, how do you feel?
For me, it's a case by case. Depends on the lineup.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not... There's people who are like, I go to Coachella every year. Like, I don't miss it. And they're doing it for the Coachella experience. I'm just like, if it has cool bands that I want to see, then hell yeah. Right. But if not, then I'm not just going to go.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the larger the venue it is, the less in touch you feel with it. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I know my sister goes to, like, rock shows every other weekend and shit. And I'm like, do you even enjoy them? She's like, oh, it's a good time. I get drunk. I'm like, all right, bet. You know? But to me, it's like, some of the concerts I've been to, I just got super lit. Or, like, it fucks me up because, like, I get turned up. And then right after the concert, it ends 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And I'm just like, what are we doing now?
Yeah, it does amp you up, man. You get a lot of energy from those things.
Yeah, that's true. I'm the same with like Patrick. The lineup, if the lineup's good for me, I'll hit the event. But if it's not, I'm not gonna bother.
It's a cool camaraderie thing too at those things. Where you're like, it's not about like being like, oh, I could almost touch the musician or whatever. It's like, yeah, like everybody there is on the same vibe, and everyone's like, you know,
right. Okay.
And those long, like the weekend long ones, those are like a whole experience, you know.
Well, I guess that's you turn out
before and after at the hotel, all that stuff. So
it's like a ritual, then, you know what I mean? Yeah. Kind of like a rite of passage.
I honestly haven't been to Coachella either. I've been to like some. I used to go to music festivals up where I'm from in the Bay, and like since I lived there, I would just drive each day of the weekend instead of like getting a hotel. But like if you're not from San Francisco and you want to go to outside lands, you like get a hotel and you party all weekend. I wasn't doing it like that because I was just like, all right, drive to the city every day and then leave.
So like home. What happens on the end of the second day when you no longer want to do it? You know what I mean? Do people still power through it?
Yeah,
a lot of people are on drugs, so there's that.
There's big time that.
Yeah,
I think the closest thing that to Patrick that we had here that I experienced was EDC.
Shout out EDC.
Bro,
EDC made me money.
EDC was dope out here.
Yeah.
Like, the same thing. We have to get a hotel. Wild. We just, you know, party. We know where to go after party.
Yeah.
You know, and but also too the raves or the events, right, was finishing at like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yeah, that's another crazy thing.
Yeah. Those well, and I don't know. I don't want to alienate any like EDM fans or whatever, but
too late. Just by saying that.
I personally think that that most of the time when you're listening to that kind of music, it's greatly enhanced by doing drugs.
Oh,
and I don't really do those kind of drugs.
Okay,
so that's like those parties where you're staying up, where you're like listening to this music nonstop for like 8 hours until 5 a.m. Like, that's just some stuff I don't think
as an outsider, I understand 110%. Because when I think about those shows and the big ass speakers and the bass, I'm like, hell yeah, if I was on some drugs,
yeah,
it'd be amazing.
Yeah.
But then when I'm driving and there's a dude in his car just like listening to a hardcore set, just going off, I'm like, how?
Bro, you ever get into an Uber and like the dude's like, just that's his driving around music, and you're like,
how, bro? You must be
like, isn't driving like more of a mellow experience? And you're just like,
ready to go, dude.
Hit the left.
Yeah. I don't get it. I'm like, that shit gives me a headache. I know, you know, there you go. I'm in it. Yeah, we're gonna get in trouble. We're gonna get in trouble for this one.
It serves its purpose for sure. Like, no. I mean, I like EDM music a lot, but I just know that like there are certain events where it's such a marathon length of time that it's like, really, you gotta be turning up in some way. Maybe it's not drugs, maybe you're just like drinking, but it's probably pretty rare to find someone who's just like stone cold sober for 8 hours.
I've heard of the sober warriors at concerts like that.
Yeah, nah. I went to a festival sober.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more draining, honestly. It's just really draining.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing, is like, it takes more out of you. You don't have like that unlimited gas tank to just keep going. Yeah,
exactly. Because I did like a couple years back, I did a back to back. I think it was Beyond. I was lit, perfect for the first one, sober, and the second I was like, you know what? I'm selling my ticket because I can't stand for another 8 to 12 hours. I'm good. Like, I can't. My legs couldn't handle it.
That's another crazy thing. Come on, standing for like 12 hours, and you're not really standing for like 12 hours. You're jumping up and down, walking everywhere. You know what I mean?
Dude, there's a, where I work at, there's every week like a big EDM party, and it's not like one of, because we're a bar and we're like following California state laws or whatever, so we do close at 2 a.m. even though I'm sure all the people in there would be down to like
keep
party.
And they probably all do go to after hours and stuff afterwards, but there's like a couple dudes in there who just like come in at 10 p.m. and then for 4 hours straight, stand like in the same area, just dance nonstop. And then like you see them afterwards and their clothes are like just so wet. Like wet to the point like they look like they just got out of a swimming pool.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. And that's a norm thing too. Because I know like in a regular club, you see a dude sweating, like you're like, ooh. You.
Oh, bro, on our club nights at the bar, like come 1:30.
Yeah,
1:15. Nobody's coming up asking for drinks. They come up, hey, can I get a napkin? Can I get a napkin? Can I get some napkins? Hey,
that's the sweaty boys right there.
You gotta
clean up. I need a napkin real quick.
Yeah, no, you walk around with a napkin. That's what you do. You get the drink.
That's when
you're
a real sweaty boy.
That's sweaty boy. You know, tips and tricks right here.
Well, I have a question for y'all. So, talking about events and everything. So, I had a big habit of that. Like, I could not miss an event. Like, it was just a big habit that I formed through time. And, you know, I became one of those persons that I didn't really give a fuck about the lineup anymore. I just wanted to go to do, like, drugs and shit.
Right.
So I figured out later on, like, I did form that habit because of, you know, certain parts of my life that weren't great. So I wanted to escape. Right. So
Makes sense.
So for you guys, like, how would you guys break that habit? Because I ended up, to break that habit of not going to festivals, it was actually really... Like in a way, it hurted me. It hurtful, my bad. It was hurtful because like I felt like I was missing out on shit. You know,
FOMO.
Yeah, I think the hardest part, I think, right, is admitting to yourself that you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think that's the hardest part because you're gonna argue with yourself in your own head, talking about like, nah, but I do.
Yeah,
you know, I really do need to do this. I really do it. It's just like, nah, you really don't. And I think in the back of the head, somewhere in your brain, there's always that, you know, you don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just gotta enhance that voice. You know what I'm saying? And bring that voice up, make it a little louder, let it know that to start getting bullied by the other voices, basically.
Yeah. Well, and I think personally, I've never struggled with this issue because I just like, for as extroverted as I am, I'm also very introverted a lot of the time, and like, I'm totally happy to just come home and chill and do my thing, play music or whatever. But I do know a lot of people who struggle with that, and it's not necessarily always the voice in your head. There's always homies too that are just like, yo, come on, like, don't be a bitch, like, come on out. And like, that, I know people that just like, all you have to do is say that shit one time and they're like, all right, you know what, yeah,
I'm buying my
like,
ticket.
And it's like, so that's a big thing, is like resisting peer pressure too. I think that's
true. Definitely,
that's the hard part about it, and not being afraid to say no, period. Like, you can't be, because sometimes it isn't what you want to do. Sometimes you're like, I'm not feeling it. But you feel like you're going to let someone else down by not doing it. And you got to be okay with saying
no. And then you realize, hey, you know what? You know, once you start saying no, you separate yourself. And it's not really a separation. It's just natural. They keep on doing what the fuck they're doing.
Right.
They keep on going. The train keeps on moving. And you just, you doing your own thing. And it's not hard feelings. It's not like, oh, fuck that guy. It's just, they're on their own path. Yeah. You don't got to join them. Yeah. You'd be all right.
Not every time.
Yeah. You'd be all right.
Yeah, that's what I started saying to myself too. Like, yo, you know what? Like, I really don't want to. One, I don't have the money. Two, I don't want to like do any drugs, like, or anything like that. So it was hard. It was hurtful in the beginning, and then it just started becoming really easier. More about me, right? Taking care of me, and just like figuring out that also, like, shit, like, I know what I was doing, like popping all these pills and shit like that. So
that is kind of it's funny because like whenever we talk about any kind of real things like this in our lives throughout this whole history of this podcast, there's always kind of been a theme, and that theme is like, practice makes perfect, like, for everything. And so like what you just said, like, at first it was hard and like you were like feeling some type of way about it, and then it just gets easier over time. So I think that's kind of a good theme to always remember in your life, like, just keep working at stuff, and it does get easier always, no matter what.
I mean, summed it all up right there. Practice makes perfect. It's hard at first, but you keep going, it gets a little easier and easier. All
right, so I have the following question to that, right? Is, practice does get easier, but how about if it's tradition? Like a traditional habit. Mm. Like, for example, I'm going to give you guys another one, which is, for such a long time, I was grown up to be saved, like, you save money, right?
Right.
And that became my habit, like, save money. Until later on, I realized, like, what am I really saving up for, right? It became a habit, but I didn't know where this habit, you know, really started, and why am I continuing this habit? You feel me? So the reason why I bring this up is because that habit was really, that one's really hard to break, especially because I didn't know why I should break it and when I should break it.
I mean, I think my opinion on that, right, is that sounds more like what you said, a habit, not tradition, right?
It's a traditional habit, though, because it came from somewhere, right? Traditional-wise, they brought it down to someone else. Like, for me, I know mostly all my friends are Hispanic, and they say the same thing, because that came back from a Hispanic household. Mm, like, save money. Like a
cultural thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that's where I was like, you know what, until I started, you know, reading financial literature and all that, like, I became like, okay, saving money is not really the ideal. I'm not saying don't save no money, right? Save some, you know, rainy day funds or whatever. But, you know, that habit right there was really hard for me to break, because I felt like I was actually, like, dissing my, you know, the person that taught me, which is my father. Like, oh, I'm not trying to do your way, you know? And it was kind of like, you know, that was a break. Like, the whole point is, it was a really hard habit to break, because I felt like I was letting down my parents. You know, like, damn, I don't want to say this money. You know?
Well, specifically about money, I think that, like, that your instinct to want to break that habit kind of is a good thing. Like, yes, like you said, saving money is good. Having some money saved away is a good thing, because anything happens. But when you're deciding, like, what you're going to spend that money on, and you're like, let's say you're, like, looking at plane ticket to like a once in a lifetime vacation, and you're like, nah, it's too expensive. I'm not. Like, no, this is exactly what you should have been saving the money for, is stuff like this. So like, it, you do need like a easy come, easy go kind of mentality when it comes to, at least in my opinion, like, what's the point of dying a millionaire if you didn't use any of that to like give yourself kind of life experiences or anything?
Yeah, I respect that point of view. I really do.
But if you're talking like breaking the habits that your parents taught you or like culturally that you learned that mm-hmm. are like traditional habits. I mean, the world changes a lot, man, like from generation to generation. And what your parents are doing isn't necessarily
right
something that you should be doing. And you can respect the kind of why they taught you that, but you can also like check your surroundings and be like, all right, well, this doesn't really apply anymore. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of stuff our parents did that.
Yeah, I think the way I see it, the way I believe, right, and the whole thing with your parents, right? I could take my pops, for example, right? The way I've came to see it, right, is that we're all what we got taught by our parents, and that's what they got taught by their parents, and it's brought down by each person, each generation, right?
Right.
They don't do everything the same as their parents. Mm-hmm. We just take the good that we could, that we understand, like, yo, these are good things, these are positive things. We continue to take those, teach them, and then we learn things that they don't know and pass that on. We can only make the next person better than you, right?
Yeah.
Because, for example, right, like, my pops never hit me growing up. Not one time. Not, you know, he just didn't do it. He was against it. He just never believed it. That's because his pops.
So that's why you're such a badass kid.
Now, my mama whipped my ass with everything in the house. Let me put that on record. I got whipped with vacuums. I got thrones, everything.
Chocolates.
Whatever Chocolates. She could have her little paws on, she was tossing them across the house and hitting the back of my head somehow. She had talent. All right. My pops.
Yeah, her mom probably taught her that.
Yeah. Okay. Traditional. Yeah. Learn how to curve a chancla around the kitchen.
And it comes back into her hand.
Yeah. So my pops, right? So he just didn't hit me because his pops would whip him for everything. Like, his pops was like, oh, you didn't finish your food? Bah. You know what I'm saying? Oh, like, shit. Oh, shit. You're supposed to be here at 5 o'clock. It's 5:01. Bow. You know what I mean? Just knock him out. You know what I mean? And hence why I guess everybody in my family's fighters. Right. Yeah. But there's also things that he learned from my pops, you know, perseverance. I can't say the word right now.
Perseverance.
Wow. And, you know, all that stuff that he took with him, you know, took the nobody could tell me no mentality. Right. If I want it, I'm gonna get it done type right. shit. So there's certain things that he did learn. And he told me, you know, I don't want to give you the bad that my dad gave me because that was bad on me. It felt bad on me. Right.
Right.
So to wrap that back around, my pops did teach me to save money. And it was like a cultural thing. It's like, you got to have money saved. If you don't have money yeah. saved, you're not doing it right. You know what I mean? You're wasting your money.
Right.
To this day, he makes me laugh. On Valentine's Day, he'd be like, why are you buying gifts? You're just giving the government money.
Yeah.
Save that money. Go somewhere. You know, but it's, I also understand that was what he got taught.
Yeah.
And I got to take what's positive about that, which is that, yeah, you got to save some money. You got to have a safety net. You got to have a blanket of money there for you just in case. You never know what happens. Right. But learn. That's the beautiful part about it. We got to learn with our environment. Like, they don't know nothing about no phones, about communication. True. They don't know anything mm-hmm. about that. To them, like, it always made me laugh. They're like, oh, man, if I wanted a job, I'd just walk up to the restaurant and they'd give me the job right mm-hmm. then and there because I wanted it. And I'm like, all right, try that right now. You
know what I mean? Like, where's your application?
Yeah.
Did you form online?
Not even where's your application. It's like, can you go online? Online. Yeah. Y'all got a website? you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't work that way. So you just, it's all about ever growing and continuing to learn. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I don't feel like I'm doing anything bad against my pops when I broke that tradition. Yeah. I just felt like I was learning and hopefully I could do something right where he'd be like, ah, good shit.
Yeah.
You know? That's
that. And you have kind of like a template for whenever you have kids,
right?
What you're gonna teach them different from how you're
definitely, you know, yeah. definitely.
And then they're gonna ignore a bunch of shit you said. That's the point.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure there's a whole bunch of dumb shit right now that I think that that's probably not right. You know, yeah. But that's the way I saw it. Because I was, you know, I think that's why I kind of saw that more. I understood like tradition and habit because I guess I had a different definition of what tradition is. Tradition to me, which by the way, I understand exactly what it is. You're right. Mm-hmm. But to me, when I thought that first word, it popped up. It was like, oh, something that you do every like year or, you know, annually or something because it's a family thing or like tradition with the boys. Once a year, we get together and we go get drunk, you know, something.
Right. You know, a hooker or something.
Yeah, something like that.
It's tradition.
You know, or cry about the 49ers with me and Patrick. That's tradition by now.
Yeah, it's been a tradition since I was old enough to know what football is.
Right. That's where our bond started right there. Just us crying at the bar. Yeah. You know, so there's that type of stuff. So I guess I think, you know, to branch off of that topic, that's why I think it's kind of sucks that some parents put this mentality into their kids that you owe me. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of kids feel like, man, I can't leave my moms behind. I can't leave this person. Yeah. I can't do that. And that sucks because you're no longer allowed to live your life. You're living your life through somebody because that person decides what you get to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I know a lot of people can't leave because they're like, I can't leave my moms. I can't do this. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. But if you really break it down to it, and this is the difficult part to see it, right? Some people might see this differently. But you have to answer for their failures, basically. You know, so if they're stuck in a position, not even saying failures, but that's what their decisions put them in.
That's kind of, yeah, that's like, you know, like maybe on the harsh side of things,
yeah,
to put it that way. But I mean, that is factual. True. To a certain right. extent. It's yeah. like you're where you're at in your life because of all the decisions
you've made. And it goes both ways. Cause I know people, you know, on the opposite spectrum, they're like, you know, my parents did the best they could and they got to this position. That's what they got stuck at. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to remove myself from that situation, hustle, so I can come back and give them something better.
Right.
You know, hence, you know, most of the athletes that I know were like that, right?
Yeah.
They're like, I need to make it out for my mom. I need to make it out for that, you know? And, but that sucks is that they kind of had that support. Like, yeah, get the fuck out of here. Cause you don't want to be stuck here. And at the other end, there's the parents were like, you ain't shit without me. Like, listen, yeah. I want you to.
Yeah. Like a guilting kind yeah. of, relationship.
Yeah, you know, so on that tradition, is especially a cultural thing, you know, we keep our parents really close. We gotta have them.
Yeah, well, times. You know what's wild is like there's some like tribal cultures, even American cultures, that were like rooted in like a tribal thing, and like you obviously revere your elders and respect them, but like a lot of like the old nomadic tribes, like when someone got too old and weak, they were just like, all right, you're staying here. We're going to keep going.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And that was like, so it would be interesting to talk to someone who like came from that tradition.
Right.
And see how they feel about it.
Right.
And my, like me personally, my parents definitely are not on any type of guilt stuff. Like you owe me this, you owe me that. Like they kind of viewed it like their job as parents was to give me everything. And if they weren't like giving me everything they could, that they were fucking up. So it's not like I owe them back now. That was just like, that's what they were yeah. supposed to do. Yeah. But I know everyone has different circumstances.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for my example, right? Because I think a lot of people could be like, well, it's easy for you to say because you have both of your parents, you know, I live with them and all that.
Yeah.
You know, but for my example, like my pops was kind of like the opposite of like, I'm going to give him everything he needs. My pops was like, I'm not going to give you shit because you need to learn how to fend for yourself.
Right.
You know, I'm gonna have your back, which I didn't understand that as a younger kid. I was like, well, that motherfucker, give me something. You know, I was struggling, but now I get it. Cause now, like, when my back was against the wall, I knew how to react already. Right. I wasn't in a new place. I was there before, you know. And I realized if I want to do things for myself, I gotta get it done.
But that was like, in a way, he was giving you that.
Right.
You
he know? Gave me
and,
that,
and he was make. There's people who don't get things because they actually don't
yeah.
have them. And yeah, like yeah. their parents are just like, sorry, like no dinner tonight.
Right.
Because that's how bad the situation is. Mm-hmm. And then there's situations like that where your dad was making a choice to be like, this is going to benefit my son if I withhold. Not, I'm not saying he didn't give you dinner, but like if
that's
he's
why he in and out all
like,
the time.
Like if I'm going to bail him out every time he gets into trouble, like nah, like I'm making the decision, even though I could bail him out to make sure
he. Yeah, did. I remember that. He's like, oh, you think you're a man, huh? You think you know everything? All right, bet. When you get in trouble, since you know everything, since you're a man, get yourself out of trouble.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, as a young buck, I was like, man, fuck you. Y'all don't love me. And I just realized he was, you know, he let me work through it myself. You know what I'm saying? So, but they're the opposite where if I leave and I'm gone, my parents are like, thank God, you know, like, he's doing his own thing. He's surviving by himself. People need to help him.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way they are. They're like, my pops is like, please just leave. Go, what? You
want to move? The door is open? What?
Get out of here. You know what I mean? Compared to a friend of mine, not going to say his name a lot, but a friend of mine, right? Who went to school, came back, and now he just bought a house, his first house, living his life. You know what I mean? And you're like, yo, congrats. But one of the deciding factors in him buying his house was like, I need to buy a house big enough where I could have a place for my mother to stay. Because he couldn't leave her behind because she had nothing. You know what I mean? So it's like some people, even if that parent isn't guilting them, they still have something that they got to worry about. Right. You know? So it's just, don't know. I think I went on a tangent right here, but it's just, it's hard, bro. I think it's a good,
interesting. Yeah. Different point of views and just in one person, which is you, right? Giving me all these other words, also Patrick. So it's a lot of intake, to be honest, too.
I don't know necessarily how I feel about it, because like there's so many family dynamics that are different from one person to the next. And it's like maybe your dad is an alcoholic and beat the shit out of you. And like,
right.
So now I don't care what you think I owe you. I don't owe you shit. Like I'm leaving you the first chance I get or whatever. But then there's other dynamics that are taking place. So it's just so hard to make a blanket statement, but I do feel like, if your parents provide for you and look out for you and do the best that they can, then I feel like it does make sense to later in their lives to be like, okay, now it's my turn to take care of you a little bit.
Right.
But I don't think like a parent who's making a good decision for their kid would expect that of them, you know?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Or like want them to put their life on hold to take care of you.
And yeah. I mean, there's so many aspects too, because the one thing that I could think about is the story of this dad that killed his daughter, right? Because she couldn't date outside of her race, right? Mm-hmm. And this is a cultural thing too. A lot of our culture growing up too is like, you can't date black people, mm-hmm. you know? Black people are Asian people for some reason. You can date whatever you want, but a black person, you come home with a white person, thank God. You know, for some reason that's the way it was. Yeah. But yeah, the story with his dad, he couldn't do it, so just killed the daughter, because the daughter was like, nah, you're not my
Jesus.
Yeah, you know, and obviously that's the most extreme part right there. But there's also families where that's a thing, and the daughter, by just that thing, has to leave the whole family behind. You know?
Yeah.
Just because they got to live their life. So it's like, it's hard for me to really tell people, nah, you have to live for yourself, because at the end of the day, your parents are your parents.
Yeah.
Your family is your family, but you got to know what's best for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can feel it out based on your decision, you know?
Yeah. Like if that's what you feel like, you got to stay there and help out your parents, and definitely do that 110%. Like put your whole heart into it. You know what I mean? But you should never feel like you have to, you know, you should never feel the guilt that's where you got
to
be at.
And I think a parent shouldn't be making you feel like you have to.
Yeah. Yeah. And
like,
I think
when I'm a parent, I would feel like I'm fucking up if I made my kids feel like, no, don't do your, like, you can't move there to your dream job. You got to stay near me, because I need you to, like, I would feel like I'm fucking up as a parent. If I'm making them feel that type of way.
And I think too, if you're having problems with your parents or stuff like that, I think something that I did, right? Because like I said, I didn't really understand my parents' logic when I was younger. It wasn't until I moved out that I was like, oh shit, this is why they were like that. You know, growing up, I thought my mom's hated me because she wanted to send me to military school. I didn't think it was because I was a dumbass. You know what I mean? I was like, my mom just don't love me. Yeah. You know, but it was true. She just wanted me to be on the straight and narrow and not be a fuck up on the streets, you know? But it wasn't until then, and I took the time to actually listen to them. I think that's the biggest thing right there. You got to listen. Right. I started talking to them, and then I started realizing how it is to be without them. And now I cherish moments with them.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to talk to my moms. I'm happy to sit there, bring some food home, and, you know, have a conversation with my moms. And have a relationship with them. I think that's, instead of looking at it really like father son or mother son or whatever, I think
just two adults.
Yeah, two adults. I think that's the way you got to see it. And sometimes the older people, you already know, the old dog can't learn new tricks or whatever mm-hmm. the saying is, you know. But if you can build that relationship as two adults and talk to them, you could help them change their mind. You could help them see why this perspective is different.
Yeah,
you know,
and it doesn't happen off the bat, you know?
Right?
Because it took a minute for me and my pops, you know. Now, you know, I don't know if I've said this before or not, but like, we joked around recently about like a coke fucking joke, you know. He's like, "Yo, you're just probably high on coke," and we laughed, and then I tried to make the joke, but it didn't work. Like, he's like, "Wait, I'm not ready, that you're chill." I said it you know, say it back, you know.
Yeah.
But it grew, you know. It took steps, a lot of steps, to get to that level, you know.
Yeah,
to actually joke about it. But it is possible.
Yeah, you know, it definitely is. Mm-hmm. I mean, some shit won't change. Like, for example, I can't watch boxing with my pops, even though I love, that's like our bonding, without him going, "If you would have got your shit together,"
you know, something that could have been you, son.
That could have been you. He saw that big guy, Andy Ruiz. He said,
like, "Shit, that still could be me, bro."
You know, so some things is never going to change. You kind of have to accept that. You know, you know, but you gotta. Shit's funny. you got to try. That's what I would suggest. Just try. But at the end of the day, you know, I think it's all what this podcast is about, mental health and you know, self-love and all that. You really do got to think about you first.
Yeah, and we don't mean that in a selfish way, but it's you know, those you have to work on yourself, because that's going to improve every relationship you have with other people. And then by working on yourself and worrying about yourself, by practicing how your brain works, then you become a better person to the people around you, and it's helping them too. So it's kind of a weird thing, the way that works.
I mean, for example, you know, like my boy that just bought the house, I forgot to mention, right? Like, so he separated himself from everybody, went to school, got a job and everything, and immediately once he started getting paid, came back and it was like, I'm taking care of my mom and my sister. This is what you guys deserve. This is where I'm putting you guys at.
Right.
You know, brought him closer to the city because they were separated, and just kind of him thinking about himself, making himself better, would put him in a position to better take care of everyone around him.
Yeah.
You know? So he wasn't doing it out of like super selfishness, like, nah, I don't care about me. He was doing it because I need to be better off to take care of the people around me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Probably has them back too, their parents and their sister. Or his mom and his sister, probably make him better, you know, to a certain extent.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for your point of views. And I was just questions I was brought up to this week, you know, and I wanted to share with y'all. So,
yeah, it was good. Good food for thought.
Yeah, cool.
All right. Let's wrap it up, boys.
All right. Thank you for tuning into the Winning Circle.
We're here every Thursday on Spotify
and Apple Podcasts.
Stay winning.
We out. We out. We out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.